upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, editor-in-chief, and we are embarked on the 12 days to Christmas. And each day I'm writing a unique and individual article expressing some aspect of technocracy that needs to be spoken, that needs to be documented. And I've suspended posting of other articles from other places around the world on Technocracy News and Trends so that readers can focus and refocus on the real important issues about technocracy that may be missing. And it's important for people to understand technocracy other than just scary things about technology, because that's really not what it is. So I hope that each article for these 12 days will have some impact on the reader. And I also hope that it's something that you will share with people that you know and get them up to speed on what technocracy is. Day three was titled Technocracy in Europe and America. And this is what I wrote. Once upon a time, Jean Maynard, 1914 to 1972, was a professor of political science at the University of Paris and widely known as a leading political scientist in Europe. His works are still recognized as foundational in modern Europe, and you would be hard-pressed to find any American who ever heard his name. In 1964, Professor Maynard wrote a seminal book with the simple title of Technocracy. Indeed, Europe was not ignorant of the changes taking place that rankled institutions as well as the people they represented, and there was no love lost for unelected and unaccountable technocrats who were usurping power. At the time in France, this topic was even on the lips of political protesters who cried, "Down with technocracy." Maynard noted that the fundamental basis of technocracy is a faith in an efficiency so great that maximum results are obtained by minimum effort. He wrote, and I quote, "Let us suppose that in a world in which the profit motive becomes more and more paramount, the political authorities, as is already partly true, fail to keep a close watch on the activities of technologists who do not all have the public interest at heart. In the end, the effect would be a barely perceptible evolution towards a regime which would be democratic only on the surface. The elected representatives would be deprived of the substance of their power. The democratic principle would then be nothing more than the front, as skeptics say it has always been, behind which the true leaders of the country would justify or disguise their domination," close quote. In the intervening years from 1964 to 2019, Europe has continued this trend, transforming itself into a full-blown technocracy controlled by unelected and unaccountable European Union technocrats. Europeans widely recognize this today, laying their angst at the levers of the technocrat machine that dominates every single area of their lives. Having entrenched themselves into an unmovable power structure, these technocrats are now killing off democracy, free enterprise, and capitalism in order to implement the economic system of technocracy known as sustainable development or the green economy. This is a resource-based economic system, unlike the free market of supply and demand, where both production and consumption are controlled by a single entity, namely, those same technocrats. Knowing that mass resistance, and after all, people were already crying down with technocracy, would accompany the economic transition, anthropogenic global warming was introduced as a fear mechanism to drive citizens into not only accepting, but demanding the one and only solution offered, sustainable development, aka technocracy. As his book clearly shows, Menard really understood what was about to take place. Technocratic encroachment would eventually dominate the political structure while leaving its outward appearance in place to placate citizens into thinking nothing had really changed. Menard nails this, quote, "I use the term influence broadly, meaning the capacity possessed by some people to induce others to act, think, and feel in a certain way or according to a predetermined suggestion. This aptitude enables technocrats to grab a certain measure of authority over the politicians who are directly or indirectly chosen by the people to assume control of public affairs. This allows them to guide the lines of action which politicians adopt and the decisions they take." Close quote. This is social engineering on the grandest scale. It is the tail that wags the dog. It is the wizard behind the curtain who pulls the levers. Has this happened in America? Does anyone really think that our elected representatives in Congress have any substantial power to make key decisions that favor the people instead of other institutional interests? Is the administration effective at turning back the growing infrastructure of technocracy? Of course not. Technocrats are seen continuously asserting themselves. Big pharma, big tech, big banks, etc. Furthermore, Menard nailed the societal impact of this technocrat encroachment. Quote, "In a representative democratic system, the power of suffrage and the trust of the people tend to be eroded by the advance of technologists." Close quote. In today's America, lack of trust is a scourge nobody saw coming. Nobody trusts anyone anymore. Congress is so badly divided that some people are saying it can never be healed again. The hostile divide between government and citizens is at an all-time high. Families are breaking up as children turn against their parents. Employees are turning on their employers. You get the idea. In short, trust has been destroyed at every level. Don't think that this just happened by accident. It is a direct outcome of the growth of technocracy in America. Thankfully, Menard noted that, quote, "Technocratic power is not a permanent acquisition," close quote. Of course, he said that in 1964, before technocracy had fully asserted itself in Europe. How Europeans could throw off technocracy today is a mystery and a seemingly impossible feat. In America, however, we still have a short window of time to do something about it. We can join the earlier calls made in France of down with technocracy, but we'd better be more certain to follow our rhetoric with tangible, concrete, and forceful actions to ensure its demise. In the meantime, spare me the criticism that technocracy is just a myth and a conspiracy theory. Many great scholars and thinkers have written extensively about technocracy over the decades, and we are all without excuse if we ignore them. And there you have day three. Day four, I hope, will be very insightful as well. The title of day four is Technocracy versus Communism, Socialism, and Fascism. This has been a topic that needs to be addressed continuously because most people in America today are busy fighting socialists and communists. They believe that that is going to be the big boogeyman of the future. And unfortunately, I believe they're missing the whole parade. So here's day four of the 12 days of Christmas. As individualists, for the most part, conservatives are scared to death of socialism. As collectivists, socialists are scared to death of falling short of the common good. Each group has a unique and strikingly different belief system and supporting logic. Those who believe that socialism or communism is the boogeyman just can't get it out of their head. I have sat down with intelligent people and carefully gone through the following table of comparisons, and they have eagerly nodded their heads in agreement, but the next day or the next week, they revert right back to talking about the dangers of socialism and communism. Were they just not paying attention? Were they being disingenuous and only pretending to agree with me? Probably neither. The fact is, old habits of thinking and acting are very hard to change. All of us struggle to some degree when we are challenged with new thoughts that require a shift in our existing belief system. If we believe that socialism or communism is the biggest enemy of the state, we will be very resistant to any facts to the contrary. It is true that the trappings of former political systems are still visible in certain countries. China still has the hammer and sickle. Germany still has a few neo-Nazis running around. But how many times have we ever been told, don't judge a book by the cover? Times change. Things change. Our thinking about them must advance as well. Holding a worldview from 10, 20, or 30 years ago is simply not adequate today. With that said, I was hoping to change readers' mindsets when I wrote in Technocracy Rising, the Trojan horse of global transformation, quote, the dark horse of the New World Order is not communism, socialism, or fascism. It is technocracy, close quote. The ancient Chinese general Sun Tzu, who wrote The Art of War in the 6th century BC, noted that the enemy must be clearly identified before victory can be achieved. This is still true today. Technocrats smile inwardly when you call them communist, socialist, or fascist, because this allows them to continue on their merry way unthreatened and uninterrupted, as has been the case in the last 50 years for sure. Well, here are 25 comparisons that make the proper distinction between technocracy, communism, socialism, and fascism. To correctly cement the features of each ideology into your worldview, I suggest reading and contemplating this list every day for 30 days straight. And let me go through some of these comparisons now in some detail so that you can understand. The end game of technocracy is scientific dictatorship. The end game of socialism, communism, is classless society. The end game to fascism is national strength. Technocracy hates communists and favors fascists. Communism hates fascists and technocrats. Fascism hates all types of Marxists. Technocracy has contempt for electoral democracy. Communism and socialism promotes electoral democracy. Oh yes, they always have elections. It's always manipulated and skewed as well. Fascism has contempt for electoral democracy, likes a dictator much better. Technocracy seeks a totalitarian system by scientific methods. Communism does it by implementing communitarianism. Fascism seeks a totalitarian system by nationalistic submission. Technocracy relies on the cult of science. Communism and socialism relies on the cult of personality. Just think Stalin, Lenin, Mao, Che Guevara. Fascism relies on the cult of personality as well. Hitler, Mussolini. Technocracy promotes scientism. Communism promotes atheism. And fascism promotes a twisted form of Christianity, as we see in Nazi Germany. Technocracy promotes cities, and it's anti-rural. Communism and socialism promotes rural development. Fascism is also anti-urban and promotes rural identity. Technocracy replaces capitalism with its resource-based economic system. Communism and fascism favors and promotes managed capitalism. Fascism generally supports capitalism for its own purposes. Technocracy despises capitalism. Karl Marx believed capitalism was a necessary step to communism, and fascism views it as a third way between capitalism and communism. Technocracy is apolitical. Communism, socialism is mostly viewed as left-wing. Fascism is often viewed as conservative. Technocracy is racially agnostic. Communism and socialism, we find that Stalin condemned anti-Semitism, and fascism, well, it tended towards anti-Semitism and racism. Technocracy highly reveres intellectuals, but only those who agree with them. Communism and socialism killed intellectuals in their own countries on multiple occasions, and fascism killed intellectuals in other countries. Technocracy is generally pacifist, anti-war. Communism and socialism mostly killed their own citizens, and fascism mostly killed citizens of other countries, plus Jews and other undesirables like blacks and gypsies, and Christians, technocracy controls people with the system through technology. Communism, socialism controls people with people. Fascism controls people with a dictator. Population? Well, technocracy believes we're overpopulated. We need to reduce population. Communism, socialism, it's a non-issue. They'd like to have more people, as a matter of fact. And with fascism, it's also a non-issue. Technocracy promotes genetic cleansing and general population reduction. Communism, socialism promotes ideological cleansing. And fascism promotes genetic cleansing, but very selectively. Technocracy promotes universal basic income. Socialism, communism supports, say, stratified pay structure according to the need of each citizen. Fascism supports stratified pay structure according to the merit and value to the leadership. Technocracy advances according to the advancement of technology. Communism, socialism advances according to the development of ideology. And fascism advances according to the strength of the nation. Technocracy promotes human conditioning to live within the system. Communism, socialism uses education to support ideology. And fascism uses education to support nationalism. Technocracy promotes the global citizen, city-state oriented. Communism, socialism is nation-state oriented, as is fascism. Technocracy dissolves the state. Communism, socialism empowers it. So does fascism. In technocracy, science knows best. In socialism, communism, people know best. And the same is true for fascism. In technocracy, social engineers hide behind the facade of science. In communism, socialism, leadership is easily identified. It's also easily identified with fascism as well. In technocracy, it was defined as the science of social engineering, the scientific operation of the entire social mechanism to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population. That was from the Technocrat magazine, 1938. It eradicates profit completely, and all private property establishes a resource-based economy controlled by a scientific elite using data-driven scientific methods. Communism is a political and economic doctrine that aims to replace private property and a profit-based economy with public ownership and communal control of at least the major means of production, that is, the mines, the mills, the factories, and the natural resources of a society. That comes from Encyclopedia Britannica. Fascism is a political philosophy, movement, or regime that exalts nation and often race above the individual and that stands for a centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader, severe economic and social regimentation, and forcible suppression of opposition. That's from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It's further defined as a political regime having totalitarian aspirations, ideology based on a relationship between business and the centralized government, business and government control, a leader cult, and exalting the state and or religion above individual rights. By extension, any system of strong autocracy or oligarchy, usually to the extent of bending and breaking the law, race baiting and violence against largely unarmed populations. One well-known global scholar, Dr. Parag Khanna, says this about technocracy, quote, "We are building this global society without a global leader. Global order is no longer something that can be dictated or controlled from the top down. Globalization itself is the order." And regarding communism and Marxism, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the brilliant strategist who co-founded the Trilateral Commission with David Rockefeller in 1973, he stated in his book Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era, that communism and socialism were necessary stepping stones to get to the end game, but they were not the end game in themselves. The final stage was to be Brzezinski's, quote, technotronic era, which is technocracy. Well, you will see in practice that there are some overlaps between technocracy, communism, socialism, and fascism. I suggest that you read this article on the website and print the entire article, which will include the table that's listed in here, and just sit down with it in an afternoon and start reviewing it and thinking about it. And yes, you may have some thoughts of your own if you already have some knowledge of either fascism or communism, socialism, etc. But you'll get the idea pretty quickly that there are definite distinctions between these ideologies that sets technocracy apart altogether. It is an otherworldly type of system that we've never had before, certainly on a global scale. And the only examples of it that we have in the world so far today are mainland China, which is certifiably a technocracy today, and Europe. India is following right behind, implementing many of the same technologies and practices that China has. So all of the social forces that we see in those countries, we also see being brought to America almost on a wholesale basis. And the reason the technocracy has advanced so far in the last 40 years is because it has been unidentified. Nobody has been paying attention. So they've been able to slip in policies all around our nation. Sustainable development and Agenda 21 policies have riddled every single community in America. Forces of regionalism through councils of governments has laid a Soviet-style system of governance across communities all over America, where these policies have been forced down our throat, mostly without any public comment or involvement whatsoever. Our federal administration today is backing all of the infrastructure elements of technocracy, including 5G, smart grid, smart policy, smart cities. All of these things are being pushed from the top down. Nobody's paying attention. This is not communism. This is not Marxism or socialism, and it certainly is not fascism, although sometimes it does seem to overlap. In the end, technocracy will result in scientific dictatorship. And along the way, it will destroy the fabric of society that America has enjoyed for well over 200 years. I don't think America is ready for this. I don't think America bargained for this kind of change. Most of them aren't even aware it's happening. But by the time the trap is sprung, it'll be too late. So I hope this is of some use to you. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. We'll see you next time with the next installment of the 12 Days of Christmas.